And do take your Bible tonight, please, and turn to the book, or the little tiny letter, of 2 John. We'll have a reading there. A little tiny letter that packs a large message and punch, if you will. That is, that it is powerful, because it is indeed the Word of the living God. And when God speaks, things happen. It's a powerful Word indeed. John, the second epistle. Now, there's some question that some people have in their minds as they begin to read this. This is addressed to the elect lady and her children, whether it were a family or not, or whether it was speaking metaphorically of a church. But in either way, we'll see the truth remains the same of the letter that is written. And so let's read together God's holy word. Verse 1, the elect lady and her children to whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in love and truth. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. As far for the reading of God's holy word, and may He bless it truly and indeed. Well, tonight, the New Testament, I hope you have read your Bibles before now, and you have realized that oftentimes you hear this phrase, one another. The New Testament gives to us several one another phrases, statements that show how being a disciple of Christ is truly an experience born of another world. It's not something that is native to the selfishness and the blackness of a sinful and broken human heart, but rather it is something born from above by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, these statements reveal how that Jesus' disciples are to relate to one another. And so just by going through and categorizing these statements under headings is helpful for us to know how we relate in the church. And so that's going to be our object tonight. And by the time we get to the end, and I'm trying not to make this a long message, children, I do want to keep your attention throughout, so I don't want to make it too long. But there are a number, but there are going to be a lot of short-er explanations as we go through it. So mercy has descended, and God is good. Yes? Okay. Well, as we go through these statements and look at these one another statements of the Bible, I want you to do one other thing. As we go through these things, ask yourself, am I following the Lord in this matter? It's a very personal question, and of course, we corporately have to ask that question as well, but I want you to be sure to first of all ask it of your own heart and your own self tonight. So my first category is this: love one another. Love one another. This is a category with many, many of these statements under this one heading, to love one another. And one of those statements was found in the passage in which we read tonight. And I'm categorizing these or subcategorizing these in some headings. And under this first category of we are to love one another, there is Christ's love that we're to demonstrate in this. John 13:34, for an instance, says, Jesus, there speaking to his disciples, a new commandment I give you. Well, now this should perk up the ears of any disciple who has grown up knowing the Torah, knowing the writings, knowing the sayings, the sayings of the wise, and how that they were to be taken into their heart. This should be something that would make their ears to perk up. I thought we knew all the commandments of God. And now Jesus, the rabbi, the one we're sure is the teacher come from God, has a new commandment. But wait a minute, it sounds a whole lot like another commandment that I remember distinctly reading in Leviticus 19 and verse 18. So keep your finger somewhere in the New Testament and let's take a quick trip back to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, right? Okay. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. And I have never been ceased to be amazed at the Lord's putting this particular verse in this particular book and in this particular place. It is a beautiful truth of God's holy word. But let's look at verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So they've had this commandment all along. But now Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. But he doesn't stop there. And that's the newness and the freshness of this particular command. Look at the rest of this verse. Well, you don't have it in front of you perhaps, but in 1 John 13:34, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's the newness of it. Now Christ is no longer saying love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, this is true, but he's holding up now a higher example to us of himself and of his own perfect life. Love one another as I have loved you. This is a tall commandment. And it gives us a perfect example of which to follow. And Jesus Christ came into the world not only to redeem us from all iniquity, but also to show us how to live before the Father. And this is one of those ways. John 15:12 also reiterates this commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15 verse 17 says something similar. These things I command you, that you love one another. So these four verses under this one heading show us that now we are to understand by this new commandment that we are to love as Jesus loves in the same manner. And it first comes to us in this glorious 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, in which Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of heaven, the maker of all creation, takes a bowl of water and a towel and girds himself and bows before the dirty, dusty feet of his disciples. So once again, we must ask, am I following the Lord? Am I washing the feet of the disciples and those around me? But there's another category that would belong under this, and that is the discipleship of love. And in John 13:35, Jesus says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So I'm calling this a subcategory, discipleship love. When we love one another, we must also love the disciples. And when we do that, then others will know that we are Jesus' people. We are those who are keeping His Word. We are walking in His ways. And so, there's this discipleship love. But then Romans 13:8 also talks to us about a debt of love. A debt of love. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So we are not to be those who accumulate debt upon debt upon debt. Now, I'm not talking about those who, through no fault of their own, have been put into some kind of oppressive regime and system and have inherited that by the faults completely out of their control. We're talking about people who have willingly made themselves servants to the lenders. Those who borrow more than they're worth. Those who spend what is not theirs. That is still a wrong thing and a wrong concept, not just economically, but against the very commandments of God Almighty. And we're to have the debt of love. If we're not to have that debt, we do have this other debt that is always obligatory upon us. That whenever someone presents the ticket to us, we must pay it. It is due upon receipt. We don't get to wait and say, I'm going to love you someday, but we must love today. It's always to be paid for us. And then we have not only this, but in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, we have what the Bible calls an abounding love. Our love is not just to be a status quo. It's not just to be something that never changes, never goes up further, but it's to be abounding. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So we have an abounding love. The Father has given us of His Holy Spirit. He has poured out of His rich grace. And our love, because it's God's love in us, is to abound, to know no boundaries. It's to abound, be without a boundary. And then we find also in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, we find taught love. Taught love. Now here we might come into struggle with some of what we would call a New Covenant theology, because they feel in some way that love is just something evidently that you just automatically get, and you get this feeling, and you just automatically do this thing called love. But our Bibles tell us in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Where does God teach us to love one another? This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Okay, not only this, but we are to have a fervent love. Fervent love. Now we're coming to that time of year where love is celebrated, and our boyfriend, girlfriend, married husbands and wives love to celebrate this thing we call love. But here, friends, this love is a fervent love that Christians are to always exhibit. It's not just on a certain day of the week. It's not just on a certain time of the calendar, but we're to have fervent love all the time. Since you have purified your soul, says Peter in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 22, in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Be on fire for your love one for another. Don't wait for somebody to have to tell you to love your brother or your sister. Love them fervently. But then Peter also again uses that same term in chapter 4, verse 8 of the same epistle. And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, of course, he's not talking when Peter says cover a multitude of sins. Peter is not at all suggesting that we turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to sin. But when sin has been dealt with, and sins have been forgiven and confessed, brother and sister, we are to have this kind of fervent love that covers a multitude of sin and does not bring them up again upon display. And then we have what I'm calling now original love. Now we talk about original sin, theologically speaking. You won't find that phrase in the Bible. But look in 1 John 3:11, or listen, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." So what is this but original love? We are to love from the beginning. It's the same commandment through and through. And yet we need it so often to be taught to us, just like we need to be reminded that we were born in sin and that's part of our nature and it's always going to be there. You're never going to reach a place in this world where you're above learning about the need for repentance and sanctification. And so, original love. We need to have this always with us as a part and parcel of who we are. Now, I also have here the love of faith, faith and love in 1 John 3:23. "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment." So this is part of that one another business. We are to have faith with our love. As we love one another, we are to walk in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we may make a very strong biblical case for this, that if we're not walking in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no possible way you can, in the very first place, begin to love one another as the Bible calls us to love. And so we have this great need to condition our love by faith in the Word of God. But then we're also to have this family love or this familial love. 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God." So if we have this God love, this is an indication that we have family ties. It's a manifestation that I'm in the family of God. And I belong to Him. What a beauty and beautiful truth this is. But then He gives us not only the family love, but He gives us God's love itself. In 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." If God so loved us. Think about that just a minute as you wrestle with your own sins and your own blackness of your own heart and how that through your lifetime these sins sometimes come back into your face and seem to come out of nowhere in your mind and heart and seem to want to have dominion over you. But then you remember the love of God in Christ. And that you are justified by the blood of Jesus. And that He has put those sins away from you. And this is all well and good and gospel truth. But what about our dealing with our husband, with our wife, with our children, with our brothers and sisters in the body of Jesus Christ? Do we love as God so loved us? Oh, there's the example. And then this love is abiding. In 1 John 4:12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us." If it stays, if it remains, if it's part of us, and it begins that process of completing us in Jesus Christ and making us look more like the Savior all the time, this is that assurance that we have that we are His children and we belong to Him. This was the largest category of one another's that I found in the Bible. Okay? This is the largest category. God has more to say about loving one another in this manner than all the other one another's. Not quite put together, but pretty close. Okay? So that's pretty important in God's mind, to love one another. But there's another category, and that is to be at peace with one another. To be at peace, that sense of having no antagonism. Not just the absence now of antagonism, but the actual being at one with your brother or sister. Being able to walk up and put an arm around that brother and say, "How are you doing? And how has God been good to you this week? Be at peace enough to be able to say, I've struggled this week. Be at peace because of Christ. And now you can be at peace with one another. That you're not antagonizing each other. You're not doing like we might do with the dog or the cat and just antagonize them with a little bait and try to get them a little closer. And we just kind of antagonize them until maybe the cat reaches out and scratches you. And it may seem funny for a while until you're scratched. But sometimes we're pretty good at this with our family and friends. And we antagonize. We lead them on. And then all of a sudden they scratch and they turn on us. And we wonder why. And we should be careful to be at peace with one another. Have peace with one another. Mark says in his gospel, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. And so that's the truth that we're looking at. The third category now, I have the major categories, is exhort one another. To call to one another's side. It's like, I'm going to exhort you, so come here a minute and sit by my side so I can talk with you in this way. So I can entreat you. So I can instruct you. So I can even comfort you. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But exhorting one another passage says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And fourthly, we are members one of another, that is, with each other. So, we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We are limbs on the body of Christ. We are appendages in the body of Jesus. And the whole body working together with the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be a part of His body. We are members one of another. And so it doesn't do for me to be yelling at that little toe down there because he's hurting. Because I stubbed it. You know, it doesn't do me any good to be mad like that, does it? And sometimes we can get frustrated over the things that seem to cause us problems and cause more problems by our impatience than we solve. And so we need grace in this. We need grace to realize we're members of each other. And how I interrelate personally with others is going to affect the whole body of Jesus. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And so we need to be careful in this. But then there's this matter of having an affectionate one another. A mutual love. This is what the word affectionate in this passage will mean. Of parents and children. A mutual respecting of husbands and wives. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another. With brotherly love. In honor. Giving preference to one another. Giving preference to those about us. Rather than demanding the right to be first, because I know I'm right after all, and it's my way, and I know I'm right. But we need to yield in this way. And then we also, sixthly, to be of the same mind of one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 15:5 also says, now may the God of peace, patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The ninth category I have is, don't judge one another. The Bible tells us very clearly in Romans 14:13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore. Rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Tenth, to receive one another. We are to receive one another in the body of Christ. Romans 15:7 says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Here he even gives us that modeling, that mentoring of the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive one another. Not to hold at arm's length those whom God has set into the body. But rather to take pains to get to know one another. And then, not only this, but we are to greet one another. Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you and all who are in Christ Jesus. Greet one another. Don't be those who at that high, if I may say, and I may get in trouble for this, but I hope you understand, that high Yankee attitude that I'm too busy, too important to notice anybody down here on this level as I walk on to my task to make sure I get it done. Rather than greeting one another, greeting the congregation as we come to the house of God is a high duty in the mind of God. It shows that we have interest and participation in one another. Greet one another in this way. And then 12th, do not sue one another. Is that a no-brainer? Well, how come it's in the Bible then? Do not sue. Don't take one another. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:7, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Now, Paul is talking, certainly here in this case, about those trivial lawsuits that people of a litigious mindset that are just quick to go to law are always ready to do. And we are not to be that kind of people. But then, 13, we have a category, of course, you would expect with husbands and wives. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so here this belongs to that category of one another. 14th, we are to serve or to minister one to another. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. John 13:14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I was listening to a message by Sinclair Ferguson recently, and he gave an interesting illustration when commenting on this passage and how that he was and a good friend of his were out at a wedding rehearsal or reception dinner, and the waitress was bringing in a large platter filled with goblets and dishes of things, and she spilled the tray right near where he was sitting. And he looked up and he commented to his friend, he says in his own words, he said something to the effect that, oh, someone needs to help that girl. And his friend looked at him and said, well? And Sinclair knew in that moment of time his duty. And so he got up and he ministered to that waitress in that way. Friends, in that message, again, Sinclair Ferguson also asked, when was the last time you stood before the saints and washed their feet? Oh, these truths reach deeply to us, and they reach into the way that we speak one to another, and we speak of Christ in these verses and passages from the Gospels. How that when the angels had gone away from the shepherds into heaven, they said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass and which the Lord has made known to us. In Luke 8:25, he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled and said one to another, who can this be? For he commands even the wind and the water to obey him. Do you see there's this mutuality? They're looking at Christ and then they're asking one another, who is this man who can do these things? They're interconnected in such a way that they ask and they talk and they communicate with one another on this level. Luke 24:32 says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Oh, when Jesus comes in the congregation and opens His Word to us, when's the last time you went out and you said to your brother, oh, how the Lord was speaking, how the Lord was working. Wasn't it a mystery how God opened my heart tonight and made me see something I haven't seen in the Scriptures before? And this is what we do for one another. But then He also gives us rules for speaking to each other. In James 4:11, do not speak evil one of another. In Galatians 5:15, beware lest you bite and devour and are consumed by one another. James 5:9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Colossians 3:9, do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now there's a section that's more positive in its tone, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring these to you as well. For he says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We do this to one another, and there's a benefit that we have not only to worship Christ, but also horizontally for each other. Colossians 3:16, much to the same purpose. Romans 15:14 says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. We have been given the same Spirit. We've been given the same book of God. And by that same Spirit and by that same Word of God, we're able to encourage and admonish one another. Now, we also find a live mutual submission, that we are to live in this way. We've discussed this at length in Ephesians 5:21. So I'm not going to discuss it much other than to just mention 1 Peter 5:5, which says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We're also to speak in comfort. And if you're keeping track, by the way, this is my number 18, okay? In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, these therefore comfort one another with these words. Now, what were those words in the context? But the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and His coming to in judgment, that He's going to make everything right and that He's going to bring His people with Him. That the dead won't just be in the grave. We don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. We have a living hope in Christ. And then we're to comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. Keep it up. So I can say that tonight to the Shawnee Reformed Presbyterian Church. Keep on encouraging and comforting one another. Don't ever grow tired of this body life that you've developed and that you have and honed to such perfection in so many ways. Continue on in this good way. And we're to be considerate one of another. And Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to stir up to love and good works. I'm not just to think about my own deeds. It's partly why I read from Philippians chapter 2, and especially verse 4, that we might consider one another. My life is not just to revolve around my needs and my getting 3 squares a day and my getting a paycheck and my car is being in good working order and all my family can walk in a row. And then after that, maybe something else will come. But that rather, I'm to consider. I'm to take part of my day, my life, and think upon the members of the body of Jesus. And I'm to have compassion. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brothers, tenderhearted. Which brings me to the number 21, tenderness. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. We walk in humility, with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Kindness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There must be confession and prayer that belongs to this category as well. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Be hospitable. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling, the text says. Fellowship. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. And 27th is the last one I could find and put in the smallest categories I could keep. This has to do with the Lord's table, which is very apt for us tonight, thinking about the week ahead of us. You remember in 1 Corinthians 11:33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Why was this? Because there was a fault in the church at Corinth. And some people were greedily coming and devouring their meals. They were evidently wealthier persons, and there were poor in the congregation, and they weren't receiving anything, and somehow this amounted to them as a coming to the Lord's table. And Paul says, no, such thing. This is not the Lord's table that you're celebrating. In fact, that's where we have the custom. As we pass our trays, we wait one for another according to the Scripture. We wait so that we as a body can enjoy together this meal. You know, sometimes we instruct our children to wait for the meal, to wait for dad or mom as they pray at the table. Then we'll eat, so that we don't all behave like the seven brothers and seven brides, the brothers of the seven brides did in that well-known movie. Right? But that we wait in good manners and good custom, because we're thinking about one another. We're concerned for their spiritual well-being. We delight in how they're doing. How's the heart? And if we can't speak a word to them, we can at least wait in patience and in love. And so this week, as you wait for the supper in patience, remember one another. Think upon one another. Love one another. Take that towel, that bowl, and love one another. And may the Lord give us grace and help to do that this week. Our Father, we do thank You for the way You care for us as Your children. You give us these good commands, and they're delicious and delightful to our souls. Lord, we sometimes fail in doing what You've asked of us. So we pray that You would give us a loving spirit in a way that is honoring to You and that is good for the body. And forgive us, our Lord, but give us grace now, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to love one another. Amen.